going on, y'all? This is JD on JD's Man Cave. We're here once again on a big old Saturday night in Houston, Texas. Bring you JD's Man Cave. We're here to talk about topics that have affected us and will continue to affect the black man on a weekly, daily, hourly, minute basis. So here we are again. Like I said, I got my host, Big Reggio.
How y'all doing out there?
Is Steve on the line, baby? Bob and O. Okay. Well, we're waiting on a couple of hosts. We got Steve, Bob and O on join us. We also have KJ, Reverend KJ, supposedly joining us. But hey, for right now, me and Reg will sit here and talk about the issues that are affecting us. Man, really, the first thing I want to bring up this week, man, is going on.
This is called a lynching, a Martin Day
lynching. Martin Day lynching, you're right. This brother got ran down, and he's going for a job through a neighborhood that he no doubt, resides in or near. So he went for a run, and these two white fellas took it upon themselves to chase him down because he looked like a suspect from a robbery or a burglary that they thought had occurred. And they ran it down, confronted him, got into it with him with a physical confrontation, and then took it upon themselves to shoot at an unarmed black man that was just running through the loop. Tell me where the justice is. And this happened on February the 23rd. I know because that's my birthday. But nonetheless, it happened on February 23rd, and they were just arrested last week. Come on, man. And the only reason they were arrested is because we saw the tape. The people, the district attorneys and the laws in place had already seen the tape. But they had done nothing as far as an arrest or any charges being brought until we saw the tape. And we got outraged and formally asked for something to be done. Other than that, some people would have still been living their regular life. Nothing would have occurred. They had never been arrested. None of that. So I don't understand why black folks cannot come together, because everybody is against us. We need to come together, period. And I'm going to just say this. I believe that Martin Luther King and all of his all that he stood for. But I think Martin Luther King is tired of us marching. It's time to start shooting their ass back. That's just all it is, too. I'm sorry. This is my opinion. I'm going to go start going to Academy, Carter Country, and all these other damn places, pawn shops, and start buying up these damn guns just like these white folks. And let's see how they feel when we start shooting back. What do you think, Rizzo?
Hey, JD.
Yes, sir. What's up, Bob No?
Hey,
what's going on,
bro? Hey, quick.
There we go. Chiming in. What's up, baby?
Hey, listen. I want to add my two cents real quick. I got to watch the Barack Obama address. My daughter's a graduating senior, and he's doing a graduation thing for the seniors for 2020 on TV. Yeah,
right,
but real quick.
Right. I've
got a safe, and I've been collecting. I've been adding guns to my safe, man. I got my 13-year-old, my baby boy. I got him an AR-15 for his birthday, and for his birthday party, for his 13th birthday party, we didn't have any no damn Chuck E. Cheese. We had that Top Gun in the Galleria, and
he had his
AR-15. I had my AR-15. I brought my Uzi. I brought my Mac-10. I brought my Mini 40, and I brought his cousins, and my friends, and we had a men's day because these men need to teach their children how, if you're gonna use weapon, how to use it. They shouldn't be learning how to shoot from no goddamn Call of Duty. They need to understand what this weapon can do, how to properly use it, how to aim it, how to clean it, how to maintain it. It has a purpose.
Let me explain something to you, Steve. What's up, KJ? What's up, baby?
Okay. I just want to make sure I can hear you, bro.
Yeah,
I can hear you, baby. All right.
Hey, look here. Let me just explain something to you, Steve Bobino. You know the exact type of black man these white folks scared of. I'm scared of you.
I know that.
But
I know that.
But the thing about it is,
I teach an HISD.
The thing about it is, I'm cool with that because let me tell you what fear is. Fear is a cousin to respect. They you know, so I'm cool with that. I think if the white folks know that you got the artillery that they got, they won't be so quick to pop off. I'm just saying. So I'm cool with it. I think you're doing exactly what we as black men in our community need to be doing, arming ourselves and teaching our kids how to protect and arm themselves. You're absolutely right, brother.
Well,
I'm with you 125%.
Well, it's not just that, but see, these kids, man, can't think that these guns, they can't think that they don't have a purpose, let alone how to properly use it. Now, it's one thing to have it.
Right.
I mean, anybody can grab a hold of a gun and pull the trigger, but can you do it with accuracy and fidelity? Can you do it and
exactly.
hold it off? Do you know how to be tactical? See, there's a difference between shooting and being tactical. See, my son, I teach
right,
my
exactly.
son how to be tactical. I'm teaching him how to be tactical.
Right.
If you have a threat and your threat has body armor, well, we're going to shoot in between the joints of this body armor. You know, we're doing neck shots, knee joints,
right.
know where arteries are with it, where somewhere if you hit something, it's going to bleed out. Not instead of a chest shot or a head shot, if they got armor on, know what to do, how to use it. You know, if you have to get at a running target, how to aim for it. How to use Kentucky windage, you know how to lead him. That's that Kentucky windage,
right.
You know. I got my son, man. My son is good. At 13 years old, he's good at 30 to 40 yards. When I get done with him, by the time he's 16, I'm gonna have him at 100. But again, at that point, you really don't need to take nothing out that far unless you hunt. Now, if you take out something,
right.
out, if you shoot something that far, if you as far as HPD is concerned, you shoot something more than 5 yards, you know they're looking at giving you something. They're looking to give you another charge.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Because at that point,
if
anything beyond 5 yards, they figure it's either retreating or you have an opportunity to retreat as well. And so,
exactly.
you know, at that point, you know,
right.
you start looking at dealing with a grand jury. But
yep.
here's the
right.
thing: we need to make sure that you know we are competent within the law as well. We've got to. That's the thing. We just can't just be popping off and just thinking you know some shit and you're gonna stop a cop in his tracks. No, if that man pulling cuffs out, you might beat the rap, but you ain't gonna beat the riot.
That is.
And we need to understand. We need to understand that if we got to take the ride, okay, you take that ride. You fight that court. You fight that case in court. You don't fight it right there on the street with no cop. That cop getting your ass, he get to saying shit, you know you right, and he wrong, he going, let him do his job because you ain't finna win right there on the spot. You just ain't.
You go ahead and take that ride,
and you deal with him in court. See that's how you deal
exactly.
with it. See they want you to be a nigga on the street. They want you to be a nigga in their presence. That way they get to tell you them words. Step out your vehicle. At that point where they give you that lawful command, step out your vehicle. You
right.
The next words you say after that will get your ass either shot, tased, or beat. One of the three.
Exactly.
One of the three. And all of them are gonna end with you in them handcuffs being prohibited.
But can
and
I,
not
can
on
I,
your dome, probably.
Can I say something? Can I speak on that real quick? Babylon?
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Kay.
I'm gonna give you the experience I experienced. I came up with prison in 2010, mm-hmm. and I did 11 years. I was with my guard brother. I was like 32. My guard brother, he was younger than me. He was like 24, 25, somewhere up and out. But
right.
we were actually just going to get something to eat. You know, we weren't committing no crimes. I'm fresh shots. You know, I ain't drinking. I ain't high. He was actually playing in the NFL for a year. So his body was pure. He wasn't doing nothing. He was supposedly doing over the speed limit.
Okay.
Right.
He pulled him over. I think speed was like 30. He was doing like 33, 34. You know how the white folks is. See two niggas
yeah,
in the car. But long story short, they pulled him over.
Y'all really breaking the law.
You said it last weekend, JD. DWB, driving while black. But,
yeah. Or BIP. You might have got accused of a BIP, black in public. Yeah, you can't be VIP. Yeah, you can't be VIP either, black and public.
Anybody that
what he caught was that DB TM driving better than me.
Well, that, no.
He got that DBTM driving better than me.
Anybody that knows me know I genuinely have a distaste for law enforcement. And I'm not sitting there saying all cops out here killing niggas and this and that and that, but I will say is if you a cop and you can't be a cop in a precinct around cops on a regular basis and see what's going on and not be and be oblivious to it. So you know the corruption that's in there. So am I going to sit there and say all cops are completely thrown off? No. But if you're a part of the same system that's entrapping black folks and you don't speak on it, then to me you're just as bad as the white folks. But with that said...
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
They pulled us over. And they, you know,
you took the words right out of my mouth. And let me tell you something, okay? Let me tell you something. It ain't always the white cops that give us the most problems. Sometimes it's them Du-Bois flunkers that's trying to show out in front of another cop. It be us that be the hardest on us sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like I was talking about, man, they were saying, what do I think should happen with these officers? I'm going to tell you something, man. I think that because of the trauma that these guys go through and because of the crime scenes that they pull up on and what they see, there should be a rigorous
reevaluation
and psychological evaluation done on them every 3 years. Because I don't care what nobody says, PTSD is real, brother. These guys become traumatized, scared, angry, fearful. They got all kind of emotions running through them when they pull up on the scene. Because you got to understand something. They see the worst of the worst in our society. They see the murders of little kids. They see the murders of older people. They have to be involved with the worst element of our society. They got to deal with it. And they get to a point where they start treating everybody the same type of way as a coping mechanism.
No,
so they don't have
that.
They lose all their compassion after a while.
They never do that.
Right. But you have to understand that they are human, and humans have emotions, feelings, fear, anger, all that within their body.
I'm
going to
tell you something.
So within their psyche. And it's developed on a day-to-day basis when you're out there doing that type of job. And I think, like I said, every 3 years. Say again?
I hear what you're saying, but I couldn't disagree with you more.
Well, you're the foremost authority on not a damn thing, first of all. Second of all,
okay,
this is my opinion. Like I said, first of all, second of all, this is my opinion. You entitled to yours. Let me finish talking about mine. Then we'll talk to you about your
harebrained
scheme. Then we'll talk about your harebrained scheme after that. For right now, we're talking to JD. And when I get through, I will squeeze your head if I want some shit out of you. So I'll get back to you in a minute. Like I said, we need to do
you got to be on this show.
Yes, sir, you better.
Oh, yeah.
But, the thing is, like I said, every 3 years they should do a reevaluation of each active duty officer. And if he does not comply or they don't feel like he has the competency to be a officer in the field, they need to put him behind a desk or just fire him all together. Let that boy go work at Walmart or something. Don't nobody care. But don't have him out on these streets killing people. I'm just saying that's what they need to do. I understand what you're saying, but after a certain time, they should be put on desk duty anyway, at least for a period until they get their cycle back together. Yeah, but that's the problem. It makes too much damn sense, and we don't deal with sense. We just send their ass out there. Now, what you have to say, Kay? Let's listen to your cockamamie scheme. Go ahead, bro.
Okay. Well, if you don't cut me down before I even say anything, what's the point, little black ass?
Yeah, that's all
right. I'm just making up somebody. Mike, 22 years old, and he decides to become a cop. Mike is a white boy. Mike knows for the most part. He don't know the fine details, the intricacies of it. But Mike knows for the most part what a cop is supposed to do. Bottom line, protect and serve. If Mike goes to the police academy and goes to his training or whatever, the only people mention all the time is training. It's not training, because I'm not saying the training is all good, but what I am saying is it's a certain it's the mindset of that person. So you did it on a good point. You did it on a good point about mental evaluation. That's first and foremost. But the cops are so cutthroat, and so one hand washes the other in. Even if you get a bad mental evaluation, they might actually want you, because you cater to their ultimate objective, and that's the oppression and subjugation of minorities. So you the nigga they want. So you get a bad psych eval, they may very well hire you for that reason, because they want cash that feel the same way that they do. If you come in there and you buy the book across the board, you want to persist, your objective is sincere, you legitimately want to be a good cop, they'll shun your motherfucking ass.
Well, see, that's the thing. You are talking about a completely different part of the judicial system. You're talking about the police force itself. I was talking about the individual police that are hired. But you are right that the police force itself, the culture of policing in our community is completely different than the culture of policing in the white community. Because, see, first thing,
I did a girl back in 2018. She was in training.
Are you gonna let me talk? Hey man, let me ask you a question. You gonna let me finish what I got to say? Or should I get off the show? Let me finish what I got to say first of all. Captain Clown.
Hell no, he's saying the same shit. Don't listen to JD.
Hey, look here. Let me tell you something. The thing is that in a white community, their objective is to protect and serve. In a black community, their first objective is to crack heads. They don't want to talk to you about nothing you got to say. Get out the damn car. Let me see your license and your registration. They running your license and registration hoping that you have a warrant some damn well so they can violate all your rights. Yeah, that's the culture of policing in the United States, period. So you are talking about a whole different animal. I'm talking about the individual clowns that they put on the job. Now, what you're talking about is changing the culture of the police in the United States. And there is definitely a need for that.
JD, can I interject real quick, bro?
Yeah, go ahead, bro. CKJ, that's the proper way to do it. What's that, bro? Talk to
you. Know, what I would like, man, I really wish we could have this conversation with my dad. My dad was at CSU when William Hobby sent the SWAT team to TSU and they shot it up.
Right.
My dad was there.
Right.
So my dad he was there with my dad was friends with Mickey Leland. You know, my dad can tell you about how those how the cops policed Third Ward. He named five notorious cops. Stokely something. He named five cops. No, Stokey
right.
Gray. It was five legendary cops, man, that police.
I've heard of Stokey Gray. Right.
Yeah. Starkey Gray or something like that. There were five notorious cops. So he named them. I forget their name, but I know Starkey Gray, Stokey name is one that struck fear. And how they police the neighborhoods, you know, one dude, man, had a matchbox of weed, just a matchbox with weed in it. He got more than 20 years.
Yeah.
And white boys, see what happened was, man, see, white boys, they came to Third Ward to cop their dope. So that's where the dope was.
Right, exactly.
The white boys wanted to get high. They came to Third Ward, South Park. They came there to get their dope.
You
got to
go with a good dope
here,
man.
You got to go where it's at. See,
you
got to
go with a good dope here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, Tier West over there in the TSU, that used to run all the way to 288 until they blocked off the street. What happened was the little kid got killed and got hit something, and they had a riot.
Right.
They started pelting the car. They started harassing white folks. They turned over trucks. They did all kinds of shit, you know, basically to get that traffic to die down because it was causing problems and people getting hit. He said, man, on a rainy day, you know, it was nothing there for the ambulance to stay over there because somebody going to get hit
right.
again. And and, you know, white folks just had no regard for human life, especially a black one. You know, think about it. Ain't much change, man. You whoop your child's ass, you might go to jail. You might do a weekend. But you kill a dog, your black ass kill a dog, you shit.
Ask Michael Vick.
Because they put.
He'll tell you.
Oh, I understand. And Michael Vick didn't do shit but own the house that the shit took place in.
Exactly.
That's
Michael
all he
Vick has a bunch of punk ass cousins. That's all he had.
Hey man, I don't know how you let the golden goose go to jail when you should have went for him.
Cause you a golden clown.
You come home to money. That's how that would happen. You come home to money.
Right. Exactly.
But here's the thing. We have yet, man, to get to a point, man, that where we back to claiming our communities. We have got to stop being
right,
punk
exactly.
ass in our communities. We've got to be stop being. I don't see how a white cop can come into a community, slam a little girl coming from a swim pool, a pool party. How
when
a bunch of black men watch that and ain't nothing happen. I'd be goddamn if he'd have swung my daughter. I'd have been in jail too. Cause you ain't gonna swing my door without me putting my hands on your goddamn ears, let alone
that white boy's supposed to left that in a bag. He's supposed to left that in a bag or something. At least locked up, butt naked. I'd have beat him out of his clothes. All of them should have jumped him and beat him out of his clothes.
But we're not savvy enough. To go out there and protect our community and dare them to come into it. Because if you're not coming here
right.
to protect them, if you're coming here to exert your might, well, we're going to exert ours back because we're here to protect ours. If you're not going to protect them, then we will. You are sworn, you're supposed to work for me to protect the serve, but you come in our community and brutalize us. Nah, that shit stops right here. This shit stops right here. And you stand there and you hold your ground, they draw their guns, draw yours. There's no constitution, there's
right.
nothing in the law that says you cannot draw your gun on an officer if he is being unlawful.
The thing is, Steve, we have to go back to our history and learn our history because that was the reason for the Black Panthers, first of all. First of all, the Black Panthers were formed to help police our own community. Then when we started realizing that the white officers and police forces were coming in and basically terrorizing our community, the Black Panthers started to police the police.
Not only were the white folks and the white cops brutalizing the community, it was also help pushing the dope. See, we didn't bring no dope in.
Right.
We don't have planes and boats to bring dope in.
Yeah, once the Black Panthers started policing the police, that's when they became public enemy number one in Hoover's eyes. And that's when they put out the hit to dismantle the Black Panthers because they had become too organized and too powerful within the black community. They had popped up all over the United States, and they were protecting and serving the black community. And they didn't want that. That was supposed to be the police job, and they didn't want nobody interfering with how they were policing our community. So that's what happened to the Black Panthers. They got too powerful and too organized, and they started going against the policing that was done in our community. Like you say, bringing in the dope and all of the other ills that the police force were doing to our community.
Well, here's the other thing,
too.
The Black Panthers not only help police community, but they also brought in more pride. They brought in programs. They had after school programs. They had before school programs, daycare. They had book drives. They were feeding kids. You know, they were
too organized, well put together. Yeah, they got too powerful and too organized.
Well, and that's what led to what Dr. Umar Johnson was saying about how they dismantled the black families as well. See, they couldn't just go in. They went after many things dealing with us. They dismantled our protection and our education. Then they dismantled the ways for you to provide as a man. So they basically disassemble your nuts. How you go home and tell a woman you the man if you can't bring food to her? Because the man is supposed to be the breadwinner. But then when your woman come home, why don't she bring the bread, but she making a meal to cook it too? Then you no longer shit. You ain't shit.
Well,
that's what happened.
That was the first thing.
And then we started perpetuating it.
Right. Speaking of that, Steve, let's move on to another topic that kind of piggybacks off of what you were talking about, and let's talk about the systematic. I'll call it that. The systematic dismantling of the black family, which has led to so many problems that we have going on right now, as far as fathers not being in the house and things of that nature. And what you were talking about is exactly correct. The first thing that was done was the economical disenfranchisement of the black man and the empowerment economically of the black woman. That destroyed the household, because what it did was it made, because of her economic prowess, newfound economic prowess, the black woman started to feel that she didn't need a black man in the household. Not, you know, and that right there was actually a selfish thing that was done, but it was done in a systematic way. And she didn't think about the fact that she needed that black man for more than just his money. She needed him to help rear and raise those kids that he had left behind.
Right. Let me interject real quick on that, and then I got to go because I got to watch the thing, my daughter. First thing about the disenfranchisement, it was also not only was it done politically, it was done socially. Here's one of the things they did when it became the rise of the welfare state. They made sure there were stipulations that man cannot stay in that house. So it further went along to the lynch letter of how to break up a black family, how to put them under control by dismantling the home, disenfranchising the black man, raising the black woman over the man. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with a woman who can lead a house, because under circumstances, things happen. What if you were married and your husband and your spouse dies? Somebody's got to make sure that things continue. So I'm not saying that a woman can't do. I'm just saying that we're looking at biblical principles of how things are supposed to be. A man should lead. If a man creates a family, he should lead it. That's all I'm saying.
That's just right.
That's just right.
Exactly.
But when you have a government, government that is systematically trying to disenfranchise black men and black families, and then they make things so popular now to where the even the feminization of our men now. I don't know what's in these goddamn food and Takis and all that bullshit. But if you notice, more of our boys are being born with breasts. More of our boys are being born with feminine
one more
quality.
Brother on the internet trying to get likes wearing women clothes, I'm gonna blow the fuck up.
Well, you better stay off the internet then. You gonna be gone, nigga.
That's crazy.
Because it's gonna be tomorrow on that tonight.
I like to be appreciated and respected, but nigga, I ain't gonna put no dress, wig, and makeup on for the whole
you
world.
You better not.
Jessica.
If I catch you, one, I'm coming over there with my belt.
I don't know, man. Let me go.
Hey, let me find out.
I'm coming over here with a belt. I promise.
But Miss Vera ain't gonna be able to keep me off of you.
Miss Vera ain't gonna be able to keep me off of you. I'm gonna brush your head to the white people.
Y'all know me like that all the time, but I would never put some stilettos, a dress, some makeup.
First of all, you wear a size 14 shoe, nigga. Ain't no stilettos
right
that damn big. Yeah, you ain't no stilettos that damn big.
My bad, Bobby. It's all good.
No, it's all good.
And your dress has to be a size 28.
Jeez, oh, Lord.
30, nigga.
But,
30.
But here's the thing, though. The thing is, we've got to be able to turn around, and again, we've got to be able to stake claim in our homes and our communities. And if you have a son who's feminine, or you got a daughter who's masculine, all right, you can try to turn that around all you want. It might not work. But here's the thing: if you're gonna have children, you got to love them for who they are first and foremost.
Right.
Some of the stuff that's in them may not be external. It might be intrinsic. It might be something in them. It could be, like
exactly.
I said, it could be It could be chemical. It could be biological. So it could be something in them. So you love them for who you love. Just still love them for who they are. Because see, I think half the problem is we get the ostracizing people and kids, and we say things in front of our children. We embarrass the shit out of them, and then when they need to tell us stuff, they're so scared to tell us because hell, they don't know how you going. You know,
Jay,
I know
you
and Shanti, y'all got to
come out of the bag.
Exactly, you got a slick mind for you. So I know I've been around you and you cut people. Man, when you told that boy you smell like a Jamaican onion, nigga, I like to feel like. And I know it was. I know. Told that boy he smelled like a Jamaican onion, nigga.
Not a real onion, but a Jamaican onion. God damn.
Man,
Jamaican onion.
Look here.
Yeah, that Jamaican onion is a little strong.
Bomba
Clyde.
Yeah,
I'm on. Hey, but Steve, you're absolutely right, man. We have a problem in our community. And I'm going to tell you like this, D. I don't care what nobody says. People can talk about this and that. The underlying problem is the black man in our community, man, in our society.
Yeah,
we have failed, our own worst enemy. Yeah, we done failed. That's all. If I had to get a black man a grade right now in 2020, you got a D, brother. You got a D, damn near D minus. If you miss one more damn assignment, your ass get a D minus. And that's just all it is, too.
Hey, JD.
Hey, mama.
JD.
These niggas are niggas. That's just all it is, too. Yeah.
JD.
Yes, sir.
Red Jordan.
Talk to me,
Kate.
Yeah, he knows.
Red Jordan.
Hey, man, y'all talk so much. I'm just sitting back listening.
Hey, real quick, that's my time, fellas. I gotta go. I'ma holler at y'all later. I gotta go.
All right, thank you, Bob, for timing in.
Let me ask this question real quick before you leave, big homie.
Okay,
I'm saying this to all four of us, actually all five of us, Queenie included. Would y'all be comfortable? And obviously, I don't expect this to happen next week. Would y'all be comfortable? Stop. You got two ears and one mouth, nigga. Would y'all be comfortable moving forward with, we continue what we're doing here, this is not going to stop, but actually going out and, like, getting clothes somewhere and passing our clothes to the homeless and talking to brothers in person, physically, doing shit in the community?
Yeah, that's
I
what
I
do that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
we do that over here, too.
Ain't no change that. We're going to do this right here because this is damn good form. But this aside, would y'all be comfortable with venturing out and actually doing things in Sunnyside, South Park, South Lakers? If we just got to link up and just go stand somewhere and talk to a couple of brothers or whatever, young brothers.
Well, put
I think all of us will be more than willing to go out there and do some community outreach. Just the only thing is we just have to make sure that we're careful during this pandemic period to make sure that,
no,
you know, we protect,
yeah,
we're protecting our family, ourselves and our families as well.
Week or two, but
right.
Well,
exactly.
I'm just saying.
Once we get to some point of stability.
Yeah. Well, honestly, man, this shit ain't going to be right for the next 2 years.
You're arbitrated, Davey. This your forum, so we're going to follow your lead, but I'd be more willing to do something like that, even if it's just...
All right, that's cool. Hey, look. Hold up, fellas. We drifting right now. We drifting, let's draw it back in. Look here. Next, I want to talk about the next subject that we're dealing with tonight. Let's talk about the term stepdaddy.
Bob, I'm
stepdad to a bunch of children I teach.
Hold on.
Hey,
I just want to
go,
your number,
y'all.
Inbox me your number, bro.
All right, I'll do it.
Hey man, y'all get y'all conversation on after this. Look here, y'all get each other numbers,
go,
get y'all date together. That's y'all business. Hey, but look here.
Let's talk about this subject of
a stepdaddy. How do you guys feel about the term stepdaddy? I have a view on it, but I want to hear y'all view first. We're gonna start off with Big Red Joe's view on stepdaddy.
Well, you know, I've never had a stepdad, so I'm palm chair boyfriend. Some of them still there, some of them didn't, you know, but I never considered a stepdad. It was just somebody my mom was dealing with while I looked at it.
Right. What I'm talking about is how do you feel about that word stepdad? Do you use it? concern yourself, or what does a stepdaddy mean to you?
Stepdaddy is basically a term.
Right.
You know, describe someone that is the child's father.
Right.
I mean, but, you know, me being a stepdad,
okay.
I've had kids call me just that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't really get the term. It's just like it's just something that to describe you. That's it.
Right.
Like, it's not really what you are.
Right. Exactly.
So if you're doing what you're supposed to do, because if you're doing daddy things, then you know that should be your title.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to nobody's household and you know trying to make somebody kid call me that. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
That's what I am.
Right.
If I'm taking care of you and doing things that your daddy is supposed to be doing, even though he's not.
I feel you so much on it, bro. You just don't understand.
I
feel you.
We're
the same church.
Being a stepdad, believe me, is a hard job.
What you say?
No, because you have to get to learn the children from the previous relationship.
Right.
You know, you got to try to win their hearts over. Sometimes you can't even do that because they already got their mindset that, hey, man,
exactly.
You know, you're not going to stay or they just don't like your period.
Right.
Things are going too good.
Exactly.
So, which I don't understand it, but it's people like that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to see the relationship prosper the way it is because it could be done with their you know.
With their biological.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand, bro. You, like I said, we're in the same church.
Daddy.
You put to the choir, they say. KJ, what you feel about
Daddy.
That, bro? Uh-huh.
You remember, obviously I didn't know Bobby as long as, obviously I didn't know as long as you did, but I didn't know him as long as Reggio did either. But I never told you this. The first time I met your old man, I came to your crib one day. We was in that
right.
old blue truck you had, nigga, as a matter of fact. And you pulled it. We pulled this drive. You said you were going to run and grab something and come back out. Bobby come out.
Uh-huh.
I never told you about this. You know, you said about his first name, you know it's serious.
Yeah.
Bobby come out, and he's like, how you doing? I'm like, I didn't know who he was at the time. This boy I formally, you know, met him. And
right.
He was like, I'm doing fine, sir. He say, I don't remember exactly what he called me. He called you J.D., James, whatever. I'll just
yeah.
say J.D. You know J.D.?
I'm like,
yes, sir, that's what I rode over here with. Now, mind you, I'm a Southern boy, and I got manners. So I'm sitting up. Now, I've been drinking. This back
right.
when me and you both was drinking. This back when we both was
right.
drinking. I'm sitting up, and I done sobered up like a motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? I done straightened up.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Dustin was starting off it. He like, you know, JD? I'm like, yes, sir. You know, I'm a Southern boy, so I got manners. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yes, sir.
Right.
He like, he all right? I'm like, he's cool. You know, his next question was?
What's that?
Shows you how much of a father he is. You know what his next question was?
What's that?
Are you all
right?
I'm like, yes, sir. And he asked me that because that question told me, okay, my son good. I knew the answer to that question before I asked you. When I asked you if he all right, I know he good. But, nigga, are
yeah.
you all right? Because you with my son. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
If you're not all right, then my son not all right. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
That said a lot to me from a dude with manners, from a dude with good upbringing. That
right.
said a lot to me because he didn't say it directly, but what he was indirectly saying, like, nigga, that's my boy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you got some fucked up shit on your mind, if you got this and that and the third going on in your life, don't bring him into the shit, cause that's
right.
my concern right there. That's my nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I can respect
that.
And again, I didn't go sideways with him. I don't do that. But with that said,
right.
one thing me and you can relate to, JD. I don't know about you, Reggio, cause I, unfortunately, I've never met your old man. But I
right.
I know Mr. Dan. And
right.
JD has met my old man, and he know my old man is a giant. My old man's 6'7". And
yep.
Just truth be told, my old man is biologically my stepfather. But he's been with my
right.
mom since I was 4 years old. So just keeping everything in the proper context, that's my dad.
So that's your daddy. Exactly.
He earned the right. Not that he had to. But with me, he earned my respect. And to this day,
right.
I don't know what the exact date is, but May 2020, he get that. I was just with him earlier today. And you
right.
would never hear him refer to me, oh, that's my stepson. No, that's my son.
Right.
And Jay,
exactly.
you know, you never hear me refer to him as my stepdad. That's my dad.
Yeah, that's your dad. I'm gonna tell you like this here. I'm gonna tell you how much you ain't lying. I never knew what you just said until just now, and I've been knowing you for well over a decade, almost two decades.
I didn't even know
what you just said, that was not your biological father. I didn't know that because you have never said that out of your mouth, and he has never said that. So you're absolutely right. I can attest to what you just said. But let me, you know what that is, though, JD?
That's a testament to Bobby and my dad. Because they did their fucking job. If that was fucking up, you would call him your stepdad.
We didn't know that.
Oh, this is my mama's boyfriend or my mama's husband. He earned your respect.
Exactly.
Am I right?
Exactly.
And my old man earned mine. So to this day, you never have a father. Shit, your old man came to the house when you stood over there by Bobby one time. He came to the house for a haircut. And you wasn't there. See, you don't know everything. He came there for a haircut. He knocked on the door like James here. No, sir. That's something I said. No, sir. Okay, we sat in there, had a little chopping up session or whatever. But again, just the way Bobby carried himself, he didn't speak much. He didn't yell.
Hey, man.
He didn't raise his voice. And he wasn't
no
business.
That's enough for you. That's enough for you going down memory lane. Hey, look here. That's enough for you going back down memory lane about Bobby Daniels. I grew up with the nigga. I know exactly what he was.
I
love it. And I loved him to death. That's for sure. This
I
my
don't know
thing.
About
I'm,
you here, but he had mine. He had mine.
You better not.
R.I.P.
You better
he
not.
Had my
like I did. I'm his child. You ain't got no reason to know him like I did. But anyway, my idea about stepdaddy is this. My thing is, I hear the term all the time, stepdaddy. And yeah, it is a stepdaddy. The thing is, he's a daddy that stepped in when another man stepped out. So
damn right.
Because of that right there alone, he should have a different type of respect by a child, because he's doing something he didn't have to do. He's doing something, he voluntarily taking on a responsibility that another man laid down. Now, another thing about stepdaddy, term that I talk about, is the fact that a stepfather is a father, first of all. He becomes daddy, you know, not by biological, but because he chose to become daddy. And like Reggie say, he do daddy things. And when a man does daddy things, he's not a stepdaddy. He's just a daddy. And that's all it is to it. Now, the thing is, you have to understand that when you become a daddy, stepdaddy, whatever you want to call it, you are taking on a stewardship of a wife, a woman, her family, her kids. You are being put as a steward over a entity, which is a family. You've been put as a steward. And the thing is, in the Bible, you want to be a good steward over what God gives you. So any man that steps in and takes responsibility that another man laid down and becomes a good steward over their family has all my accolades, all my respect, all my honor that I could ever give another man. And see, we have to get in our black communities as men, we have to quit using that term as stepdaddy. I'm just your dad. And the thing about step, putting that word step in it, it creates a divisiveness, a division rather in it, because that means it has a connotation of less than the original daddy, when actually you should be more than the original daddy, because you came in and took over where the original daddy burned off. So I'm taking up another man's slack, but you want to have anger toward me and divisiveness toward me when really you should be embracing and praising this man who stepped in and didn't have to. That's the way I feel about stepdaddy. So, I mean, you know, we can go all night about this.
Can you little brother pick it back up what you just said?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on one second, Kay. Hold on.
All right.
Like I said, these are
still bad. Reggie wants to
say this.
Speak on it, Reggie.
That's not what you want.
Right.
Because there's going to be a lot of people. That's just the way it is, especially in the beginning. You know, some kids grow to love you. Some kids just don't. You know, you have to get to the point where you realize as much as you can do. You know, I'm in that situation right now. My wife has two older sons. Now, I treat them like they're my sons. You know what I'm saying? I do things for them. If you know, I don't treat them in a different, although they may think I treat them different.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not catering to things that they think, you know, they we don't agree on the same things, and we're not going to agree on the same things because I'm 50 and you're 25.
Right. Like,
the way you think is totally different.
You're right.
But to me, you should have, by that time, you have enough sense in your head, like, I realize this dude is doing what he's supposed to do. He's always looking up for me. But some people, you know, they just don't get it.
Some of them never will. And you have to be all right with that. You know what I'm saying? Because your happiness and contentment is not contingent on what the hell they talk. So, you know what I'm saying? You didn't marry their mama to make them happy.
Yeah.
You married their mama, make her happy, and you happy.
Girl happy.
And you came there with the intent to join a family together and be a steward over the family. But if you have so much opposition that you can't do nothing about it, you just have to be content with that and move on.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, what were you saying, KJ? I'm sorry.
Don't use that word, sorry. You're a strong black man. You ain't sorry, nigga.
Whatever, man. With that said,
I was going to make another point, but I'm going to bring it a little bit closer to home. Based on what Red Joe just said, and I already know about you and Mr. Daniel's situation, JD, we all have a common thread. But with that said, I remember when the movie Baby Boy came out. This came out in like 98. I'm like 22 years old. I'm a youngin', and I still got my mom and my dad or whatever. But when I first watched it, I'm looking at it from a young man's perspective, a 21, 22-year-old perspective. And I'm saying to myself at the time, I'm like, why the fuck Ving Rhames so hard on this nigga, man? God damn, nigga. Ving Rhames had no letter. This nigga walk around the house butt naked cooking bacon. That shows he gave no fuck. I mean, he was on some.
Right.
Nigga, I'm running this. But as I got older, I experienced certain things. I was subjected to certain situations. I dated females with kids. I interacted on the level that Ving Rhames interacted. My perspective changed. My vision became clear. It wasn't as blurry as it was before. And I ultimately realized, as gangster as Ving Rhames was, Ving Rhames was trying to get Tyrese to understand. Nigga, stand on your own 10 toes, bro.
Right.
Not saying your mama was gonna be. Not saying
when you first watched Baby Boy, hell, you was Baby Boy.
I was.
That's why you
not,
had a different
not,
perspective
not
on it, nigga. Because you was Baby
but
Boy.
Was
you
nigga.
Was Jody.
But once I got older,
you was
I was
Jody.
Like, damn, nah, it makes sense now. And Ving Rhames
did you have a bike like that, too?
Huh?
Did you have a bike like Jody, too? Honda.
No.
I said, did you have a bike like Jody? Because you was
nah,
Jody
was
back then.
But I'm saying that to say, I understand where Ving Rhames was coming from. So when Ving Rhames, when they finally had that showdown, when Ving Rhames put him on his back, like Ving Rhames said, I didn't want to go there with the little nigga. But as a stepfather, if I go out my door right now, and I'm not going to do it, but if I left out my door right now and went to some bar and met some chick, she 39, handsome, fine, whatever, got two kids. I know.
Everybody worry about your fantasies, man. Anybody worry about your fantasy? Talk about the topic we're talking about, man.
I'm not
to tell you. Hey, look here. Write it down and send me a note.
Quit it.
Write it down and send me a note, man. We ain't gonna talk about that foolishness.
Any situation I deal with, any female I deal with, if she got kids,
I mean, this man is,
at my age,
is,
at my age, y'all older than me, so y'all understand this better than I do. At my age, I'm not dating just to be fucking. I'm dating for long term projection. I'm dating for marriage. I'm past the point of a year here, 5 months there. I'm past that point. So if I'm with you and you have kids, I have to understand the fact that I accept your kids. So ultimately, if we get married, I'm going to be their stepdad. And I embrace it.
Well, let me explain something to you. Crazy as you is, you had to put some drugs in their drinks. Because ain't nobody finna marry your crazy behind right now. You crazy as all I do. But anyway, huh? He gone? Okay, well, you know, back, like I said, we got KJ on tonight. He might have had a couple of to drink before he started the night show. He was a little bit out of his element. But anyway, we had a pretty good discussion tonight, and we appreciate all those who tuned in on the radio and those who tuned in on the Facebook Live. And like I said, every Saturday we'll be sitting around talking about black men's issues and JD's madcap. That's just what we do. So like I said, Reg, like, I appreciate you coming and kicking it with me in JD's man cave. And again, you're welcome every week, brother. I need you here, and I appreciate your feedback on these topics. So you have any final thoughts that you want to talk about, anything that we want to talk about?
What you talk about, I appreciate your inviting, you know what I'm saying? It's just like me hanging out like we always talk about.
Exactly.
You know, going to run the camera.
Exactly.
KJ had a top joke story.
Right.
KJ.
He in nine different places at the same time.
I know you're very descriptive, and we had to know the one was fine because you could be fine because you wouldn't be with nobody that was fine. I was like, when you tell, especially on air, you got to, you know,
just get to the point.
Get to the point. So.
And hit the points that you're trying to relate. We're not trying to write a movie. We don't need all the descriptive background of the trees blowing. And, man, I'm good with that, bro. Just tell me the story and get it over with. But anyway, like I said, we enjoyed tonight. I hope you got something out of it because we are here to entertain, but we're also here to inform. And again, I appreciate you guys. And if you have any comments or questions, leave them in the comment section of this live or this watch party, whichever way you're seeing it, and we will address them. I will get back to you on them if I have to get back to you in comment section, or if I can get back to you through Messenger or through a candid conversation like this. We will get your problems and your concerns addressed. Again, next week we'll be back in the studio. I have all the fellas. We're going to we have been respecting the coronavirus, but that the city is opening back up and JD's Man Cave is opening back up in our studio. So we'll be back next week in the studio live with all my hosts, all my crazy isms and schisms. We'll be taking care of it. We'll be back in JD's Man Cave. But you're in JD's Man Cave at my house tonight, so you get to see where we kick it for you. So again, next week, next Saturday, in the man cave, Rich. You'll
be there?
Yeah, I'll be there. All right, well, that is. Again, next week, we'll be right back, just like we need to be. And so we'll see y'all next week. Take care. Appreciate y'all tuning in to JD's Man Cave. Great show. Well, I'll let you next week. Bye-bye.